It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Welcome to Lighthouse Faith Podcast, where we are moving forward in truth and love. I'm Lauren Green, Chief Religion Correspondent for Fox News Channel, and author of the book Lighthouse Faith and the new devotional Light for Today. Now, we usually think of missionaries as traveling to third world countries to convert indigenous people who barely have the ability to read and write. Yet, Bunny Pounds realized years ago that her mission field was going to be in a far more treacherous landscape, U.S. politics and the halls of Congress. As anyone who studies history probably knows, the Founding Fathers knew that our Constitution could only be effective and work with a virtuous and God-fearing people. Sadly to say, the American Republic is losing much of its luster of a grand experiment precisely because it is losing its faith. The Pounds, who lost a 2018 bid for a congressional seat in Texas, learned a lot from being a political consultant, former candidate, but most of all, a faithful Christian. That above all, the nation needs Jesus, and so does the nation's capital. And she lays it out all in her book, Jesus and Politics, One Woman's Walk with God in a Mudslinging Profession. No mincing words there. We're meeting up with Bunny in Nashville for the National Religious Broadcasters Convention and the presidential election year, of course. Politics is a big concern. If you're a person of faith, disparaging over the choices of candidate, then Bunny is somebody you want to listen to. She's the founder of Christians Engaged, which is focused on reaching about a million Christians to pray, vote, and engage before the 2024 presidential election, and she joins me now. Welcome.
It's so great to be with you, Lauren.
You know, I want to know why you wrote this book. Why did you write this book?
Well, number one, I feel like a lot of times Christians think, oh, I can't get involved in politics and government. It's so mudslinging, as I said in the subtitle. Yeah. It's so awful. It's so horrible. And we as Christians are not supposed to be involved in that. We keep this separation between what we think is secular and sacred and not see that God should encompass every part of our life, even our civic duties, right?
Right.
And then the other audience that I wanted to write to is the people that are involved in politics and government, or they're news people. They love to watch Fox News. They love to follow the news of the day. But sometimes we are internalizing anger, fear, pride, and we cease sometimes to look like Christ followers as we're engaging. And so I wanted to engage that audience as well to say, yes, let's get involved. Yes, let's do what we need to do. But hey, let's walk with Jesus and love him and watch our souls while we do it.
You know, I hear that there are about 25 million Christians who really just set out on the ballots. I mean, in the election, they just didn't go and vote. Are you trying to mobilize them? Because a million is, you know, a great focus and a great goal, but they're like 25 million.
Yeah, I want to get to 25 million. Yes, Lauren, I'm all about it. Because we have to do something. The church has to wake up. The national statistics show us that there's really no difference between the general public and the people that call themselves born-again Christians, whether they're Protestant or Catholic. Mm-hmm. We saw a little, maybe 2% bump in 2016. But in reality, when you only have 8 to 12% of registered voters voting in primaries, when you only have 1 to 6% of registered voters voting in city elections, man, the body of Christ, if we would discern our ballot, if we would spend the time we need to research, you know, 30 minutes, research our ballot, pray through it, look at what these candidates are saying from their own words, on their websites, their social media feeds, who's endorsing them. We can literally go in and change a city. We can change the primary process, and we can change our nation one election at a time.
2018, you ran for a 5th District congressional seat in Texas. Why did you run, first of all? And we'll get to the kind of the fallout afterwards there.
Well, I never saw that coming. I had one of the most successful GOP consulting firms in Texas. I was running 32 clients.
Wow.
Congress, state reps, county commissioners. I didn't need to run for Congress. Believe me, I blew up my life, Lauren, doing it. But frankly, the reason I ran is because of the same reason I'm trying to mobilize Christians to get involved right now. There was no bench of leadership. Mm-hmm. My former boss, Congressman Jeb Hensarling, who was financial services chairman in the House, announced his retirement after 16 years. There were two people in the district that I felt were really solid believers, conservative voices that could take that district. Mm-hmm. Both of them said, no, I don't want to go to Washington, D.C. I want to stay in Texas. I can get more done in the legislature here.
Right.
So all of a sudden, we had the fourth most liberal Republican in the Texas House running. And, you know, I say in chapter 10, love does. I just like mama bear instinct started running and asked for my boss's endorsement. And, you know, the rest is history. God knew. But I want to say this, even though I didn't come out successful in that Republican runoff, it was an 8-person primary into a 2-person runoff, lost by 2,700 votes out of 43,000 votes. What happened was my opponent, who's now a dear friend, is a solid conservative now.
Wow.
You know, it transformed him. He is voting right. He's acting right. He's doing the things he needs to do. And Congressman Lance Gooden's turned out to be a great member of Congress. And,
wow.
And the first person to endorse this book, as far as his signing off on his story being used. So I'm very thankful for him.
But what did you learn in that campaign? Because you talk about the mudslinging, you talk about, there are a lot of things that probably were not good in that campaign.
No,
happened to you.
You know, there's one thing to walk beside members of Congress or candidates when they're going through that. It's another thing to be the candidate.
Yeah.
And it made me so much more understanding and empathetic of what their life goes through, the busyness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're constantly trying to raise. I was trying to raise $25,000, $30,000 a day. You know, I was running around 7 counties speaking constantly, trying to get endorsements. And then also what their families go through. My husband, like every American husband, wanted to kill everybody that spoke out against his wife.
Honey, you can't go to jail now.
Yeah,
it's just not
a
good time.
He told me to make sure that was kind of toned down in the book. But the reality is, a lot of fear happens, anxiety.
Yeah.
You know, I would get up every morning and go, God, I need you. Like, for me, it pushed me into a new dependence with God that I hadn't had before, because sometimes, Lauren, we operate on our own talents and gifts. We think,
right.
Oh, I got this. Well, you know, when you have to raise $1 million to even be successful, and then you've got the vice president's endorsement on top of that and the pressure that goes along with it, I was like, God, I need you. I am way beyond my comfort level. And frankly, I got addicted to that. Like,
did you ever ask, you know, like, God, like, how could I have lost this if with all of these endorsements? I mean, if the vice president and all of this, and of course, your former boss, a congressman.
I wrote a lot of that in the book because I want people to see some of the nuances. We think endorsements and money produces victory. Sometimes we don't think about my opponent was a sitting state representative. He had more name ID from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
It was an anti-homeschooling school choice year where the public educators were coming out in force to vote against me, the homeschooling mom. And then lastly,
they labeled you the homeschooling mom. How much can she know? She's ignorant.
Exactly. And then I share in the book, my opponent, his consultants had floated his invoices for the runoff. So I outraised him by $300,000. It's a legal practice. They cannot bill him until after the election. And so they floated all of his mail, his radio, his TV, his consulting fees. So I outraise him by $300,000. He gets floated $240,000. And the injustice of that, when I found out, you know, 2 months later on the FEC report, just hit my heart. I did everything right, and I couldn't win. And part of my story, Lauren, is to tell people, there are injustices that happen. There are things that happen in politics and government. You lose a bill that you think is going to go through the House. You lose an initiative that you're trying to get on. There are failures that we experience, but how do we deal with that? And for me, it was taking my opponent's Christmas card with his beautiful family and praying and saying, God, help me love him, help me forgive him, help me walk forward in my life. And a year later, that led me to throwing a ginormous party for him and helping pay off the last $50,000 of that runoff debt. Because if I didn't, I was never going to move forward in my own life, and I was going to continue to stay stuck. And I believe the seeds in that season that we did, our team, laying down those offenses, bitterness, and unforgiveness, and helping him raise the rest of that money, opened up the floodgates of heaven for Christians Engaged, our nonprofit ministry, when we launched 2 weeks later.
Do you think you will ever run again for Congress or for any kind of political position?
I don't think I will, just because I feel like God did that in my life to put me exactly where I'm supposed to be, mobilizing Christians. Because when I ran for Congress, I spoke in 16 churches. My husband and I pastored house churches. We had a great relationship with pastors and ministry leaders in our area. But I realized real quick, they don't know what a primary is. They don't know what a runoff is. Yeah. They don't know how the systems work. And then when they're trying to talk to their congregations, they don't have a clue.
Right. Uh-huh.
So I looked around. I realized there was no get out the vote, voter mobilization system. A lot of Christian ministry talking about, you know, Christians voting. But nobody had built an actual how do we get them to the polls apparatus. So we built that. We built a system where people take our pledge to pray, vote, and engage around the country. And they're going to get four texts and four emails with a Christian nonpartisan guide to print off their ballot, research their ballot, and get to the polls. And the beauty of that, just the last midterm election, Lauren, we had 91.7% of our Texans voted in the midterm election because they were reminded, simply reminded, constantly to vote. And then we're pushing people to engagement through our on-ramp to civic engagement seminar and our all of our other local government curriculum and biblical worldview curriculum to teach Christians how to get involved. So I want to raise up leaders.
Yeah, I mean,
I can raise up many more leaders than actually going and voting in Congress.
That's gotta like though give you a little sense of pain that it's like if just 3,000 more Christians or 2,500 more Christians would have just come out,
yes,
and cast their ballots for you, you would have taken it.
It is painful, but
yeah,
but God, but God,
but God.
You know, we were in D.C. last summer. I took a group of 55 people to Washington, and we did a pray day, a vote day, an engage day. And we ended up having 10 members of Congress speak to us, share their faith stories, and we prayed over them, and then two senators. And it hit me as I'm sitting in the Senate building waiting for Senator Ted Cruz to come, and I'm sharing the story, and I'm sharing a story from Chapter 2 about the vice president saying, Bunny, Karen and I are going to be praying for you every day. We need your light in D.C. And I thought that meant, I'm going to D.C., you know, but 5 years later, I'm standing in that Senate building with 55 people that are bawling their eyes out because God is calling them to leadership in America and realizing we are now mobilized. We have 200,000 Christians in our system now to pray, vote, and engage regularly. My light is in D.C. It just is in a different place.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a different place.
I mean, I talk about the halls of Congress, you know, in D.C., but halls of politics all over the country really being a mission field.
Yeah.
And if you were talking to people in different parts of the country and how can they get involved in their state, in their civic arena, so that they can be an influential light on the political mission field?
Well, we have to realize that government is going to affect our lives whether we interact with it or not. Mm-hmm. We learned that a little bit in 2020. Yes. You know, I'm in Dallas County. The neighboring county, Collin County, was completely free and Dallas County was shut down, right? So even in county government, how that affects us, our mayors affect us, our governors affect us. But we train Christians. Yes, lobbying is happening all over. Do you have kids? Do they lobby you where they want to go to eat after church on Sunday, right? I want to go to Chipotle. I want to go to Whataburger. I want to go to Chick-fil-A. Oh, sorry. Chick-fil-A is not open on Sunday. But we have lobbying and politics everywhere we go, our churches, our schools. But government ultimately is the most important because ultimately government can use force. And so we need to start interacting with it. So we teach Christians what are political parties, what are platforms, what are rules, why should we care about that? How can we advocate? How do we go down to Austin or Harrisburg and advocate for our values? How do we get to know our elected officials? The power of one Christian that would adopt a candidate and walk that candidate through a campaign, get their cell phone numbers, hold them accountable when they get elected, you know, become their prayer partners and prayer warriors. We can have exponential influence if we would all pick a place and start getting involved, Lauren.
I want to take a break right now on Lighthouse Faith Podcast. We'll be right back with Bunny Pounds talking about her book, Jesus in Politics. We'll be right back.
Fox News Radio on demand on the Fox News app. Download the app and just click listen. When you swipe left, you can listen to your favorite Fox News talk shows live. Swipe right for the latest Fox News Radio newscasts on demand. Fox News Radio on the Fox News app. Download it today.
And we're back with Bonnie Pounds and her book, Jesus in Politics, One Woman's Walk with God in a Mudslinging Profession. One of the things that we always hear whenever controversies arise with Christians in the public square is this phrase of separation of church and state. And they get fearful because they fear the lawsuits, I'm acting against the Constitution. How do you deal with that with people? What do you tell them?
Well, number one, if we remember the colonial New America, all of the states were colonies were separated by religious expression, right? You had the Quakers, you had the Catholics, you had the Protestants. So when Thomas Jefferson was writing a letter to the Danbury Baptists, they were concerned that they would have the same problem as in England, where the government would come in and force their religion upon them,
right?
You know, an institutional church. We have this idea that it's the opposite. So they were concerned about government infringing upon the church, not the other way around. The whole of America was established, all of our laws, our constitution was established on biblical foundations, biblical
right.
truth. So to say that we can't pray before a city council meeting, that we can't be involved as believers in the public space is ridiculous. That
right.
the Ten Commandments can't be on the wall of a school. So we have to push back on that fallacy. Secondly, we have the most religious freedom we've ever had. Thank God for First Liberty Institute and Coach Kennedy. As public employees now in every space in this country, we can pray. We have free expression of religion. We can wear our Stars of David if we're Jewish. We can wear our crosses if we're Christian. We can share our faith and proselytize, and nothing can stop us. So we need to just realize we're freer than we've ever been in this country and walk out that faith.
You know, you have a title of one of the chapters in your book called Politics is Not Inherently Evil. And I probably think that a lot of people really do think politics is evil. But what is your point of having this chapter that it is not inherently evil?
Well, my father was a pastor, and he thought when I got into politics and government, I was actually abandoning the call of God on my life. Mm. He saw me as gifted to teach the Bible, and I had a love for the Lord that he saw as, you know, a little different. Mm-hmm. And he really thought I was called into, quote, unquote, full-time ministry. And he couldn't get over the fact that I was going into politics. And I kept telling him, Dad, it's not the system that's inherently evil. It's the people, the hearts that are involved. And if we, as the righteous, are not involved, then the wicked fill that vacuum, right? Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. When the wicked man rules, the people groan. So the best way to love our neighbors is to be involved and to vote and to pray and to engage as believers. So it wasn't till he was on his deathbed 9 years ago where I was able to share some of the stories that are in this book, private conversations where I was able to counsel a member of Congress through a marriage problem or help a member through a terminal illness or, you know, pray and ask God for a word for them right when they needed it. That he goes, wow, Bunny, you're right where you're supposed to be, right? I see it now. Who else is going to disciple these elected officials and politicians if you're not walking with them? So I think we underestimate the power of our voices, mm-hmm. our relationships, the time we spend with people. And I really want to call people, Lauren, beyond politics and government with this book, to be aware of who you're with, you know, in the present.
Yeah.
How does God want to move in that conversation? How does your life poured out in that person's life make a difference? Because that's what discipleship is, and that's how we really disciple the nation one heart at a time.
I know there are a lot of issues that have come up that Christians are very, very upset about. One of them, of course, is the whole idea of transgenderism,
yep.
of biological males competing in as women in sports. How do Christians combat that in a loving but truthful way and make a political stand?
Well, they need to see where it's infringing upon their beliefs. Is it on the state level, the local level, the county level, the school board level? But we have to stand up. And one thing we do with Christians Engage is to teach Christians how to articulate a point of view in 3 to 5 minutes, how to testify in front of a committee, go down to your state legislature, sign in, mm-hmm. and testify in front of that bill. Because what we're seeing, and this has been historic for the last 30 years, is you'll have some sort of issue come up, whether it's the life issue or the transgender issue or whatever, mm-hmm. and the progressive left is out there in force. Yeah. Hundreds of people, thousands of people ready to testify and tell their story. And we have 5 homeschooling moms that show up on our mm-hmm. side. And we forget that there's power in numbers. And that we need to just, even if it's simply to stand there and pray and support the other people that are testifying, we need to be showing up in those places of influence. And simply testifying in front of committees or saying, I don't want this bill, or we need to pass this bill to protect our daughters. In Texas, we've done a really good job of that.
Now, this is a presidential election year, obviously, and here at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, and I'm not sure when we will air this particular episode, but we know that Donald Trump will be here tomorrow evening, and probably by the time this airs, people will have heard what he had to say to the broadcasters here. But your feelings about the Republican Party really being whittled down to essentially two candidates right now, what are your feelings about that?
Well, I always tell people, vote your conscience in the primary. You know, you vote for the person that you absolutely want in the primary, and then you vote platform and you vote values in the general election. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, I wish more people participate in the primary process. I wish it wasn't just based on name ID. We honor everything President Trump has done in office. And as believers, we sometimes love what he does and sometimes we don't, right? So we have to, you know, deal with that in our own hearts. But I think at the end of the day, yes, he's going to be the nominee. Number two, we have to then all unify and we have to get around the candidate that is going to support a more biblical platform. And I want to remind Christians that the only reason the Republican Party platform is more biblical, I would say, then the Democratic platform at this point is Christians getting involved. From the 1980s, when Pat Robertson ran for president, they started changing the platform one plank at a time. Mm-hmm. And the only way that that's going to stay is Christians getting involved. So, you know, here I was, a homeschooling mom, went down in 2004 to testify in front of a platform committee. And 16 years later, I'm nominated with David Barton to represent Texas on the National Platform Committee. Wow. So, Lord willing, I'll be there this year with David or Kelly Shackelford this year. But the reality is people have to defend those beliefs. And so we need to be involved on the party level.
Do you ever get involved with trying to steer people of who to vote for? Or is it really strictly just, you know, pray, be engaged, and vote your conscience?
We don't endorse parties or candidates because we are used within churches. So we mm-hmm. teach pastors how to talk about prayer, voting, engagement without splitting their church. And then we give people civics understanding and biblical knowledge to make those decisions themselves. We really trust the Holy Spirit, Lauren, to direct people without a direct endorsement. But we give them lots of tools. We just put out a biblical framework platform guide where we go through what the Bible says on 15 issues, what Marxism says on 15 issues, what the Democratic platform and the Republican platform says in all quotes, where people can print that off and they can, without even reading the platforms, which we highly recommend people do. But if you don't want to go through 100 pages each party platform, we give you the guide to show you that Christians are not just voting on one issue. We're voting on lots of issues.
You want to reach people that are, spiritually engaged with Christ.
With truth.
Truth. Right. Yeah. And that makes a big difference. Because if you actually understand, I find this in the sense, when people are actually engaged in the Bible, when they actually know the Bible, when they actually understand who Jesus is, it becomes a much different kind of understanding of who to vote for. Now, one of the things, one of the problems that a lot of people had was with Donald Trump, because they felt that he was not really true to being the Christian faith. What is your word to someone who doesn't see Donald Trump in particular as representative of their faith? Or any candidate.
Any candidate.
Any candidate that really is like, he's not a really strong Christian, but I feel like I don't know who to vote for if he's not, he doesn't really live out my values. What are your words for those?
Lauren, candidates? When I ran for Congress, I thought I was a perfect candidate, right? But I wasn't. You know, we're all imperfect people. Jesus is not on the ballot. I say that all the time. Jesus is not on the ballot. But we have to look beyond who I want to have a Diet Coke or a beer with, right? It's got to go beyond that. It's got to go into what are the platform planks that they're standing on, what are the values that they're holding. And, you know, we're not electing a pastor here. We're electing a chief executive officer of the country. And so when we're choosing for president, we have to look, okay, the president's going to hire the entire executive branch, every cabinet member, the State Department, the Defense Department, the Homeland Security, all that, right? He's going to put all that in place. He's also going to put in every federal judge. The beauty of what we're seeing on religious liberty issues, on the sanctity of human life issues, why? Is because President Trump put in solid judges on the Supreme Court and a bench of leadership on the federal courts now. So we have that opportunity again in 4 years, you know, to see what could happen in that realm. So Christians have to look beyond personalities. It's really difficult, I understand myself. But we have to make those choices and those hard choices when we go to vote.
All right. Well, I want to thank you so much, Bunny Pons. The book is called Jesus and Politics, One Woman's Walk with God in a Mudslinging Profession. How can they get the book? I assume Amazon, right?
Yeah, Amazon, ChristianBook.com, Barnes & Noble, all those good places. And come check us out at ChristiansEngage.org and take our pledge and start helping us mobilize a million Christians for the presidential election.
All right. Thank you so much, Bunny Pons. And thank you so much for listening to White House Faith Podcast. I'm Lauren Green. Have a blessed day. Listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. Amazon Prime members can listen ad-free on the Amazon Music app, or just hit the follow button on your favorite podcast player.
Listen to the all-new Brett Baer podcast featuring Common Ground, in-depth talks with lawmakers from opposite sides of the aisle, along with all your Brett Baer favorites like his all-star panel and much more. Available now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.